Today I want to remind you of who Christ is and who we are in relation to him, who you say you are and how you live your life is directly related to who you see Jesus as. This passage of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, tells us that Christ is the living stone. It says, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. The word living is a favourite word of Peter in this whole letter. It says that further on, it says that he's our living hope. Christ is our living hope. Christ is also the living word. And we know from the Gospels, he's the living water, the source of life. But here he is the living stone to build our lives on. He's not a dead saviour. He's a risen, resurrected, living saviour. And he's the cornerstone, it goes on further to say. A few verses later, he's the stone the builders rejected, who has become the cornerstone. The cornerstone to build our lives on. Further on, it says he's the one we are to trust in. And we can entrust ourselves and our lives and all that we have to him. He's the stone that causes unbelievers to stumble and fall. They just can't get over him. He's a sure rock for believers to trust in. We can build our lives with confidence on him because he's a sure, unshakable, trustworthy foundation. And anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So is that who Jesus is to you? Your rock, your living stone, your cornerstone, the one you put your trust in, the one you put your hope in? I know him to be exactly that rock I just described in my life, and I hope he's the same for you. Because once we know who Christ is, we can know who we are in relation to him. This passage tells us we are like living stones. We're just like him, living stones. Being built into a spiritual house together. We're all stones in a spiritual house. And that's what the church is. It's not the buildings. Yes, we have amazing buildings that we have to be responsible for. The wardens know that all too well, and it's a huge responsibility. But these buildings are worthless unless we are actually living spiritual stones. Without the spiritual stuff, the buildings don't matter at all. That'd be just another meeting place. But we need to build our lives and our church community as spiritual building blocks, as spiritual rocks, as spiritual house. That's what we're here for. That's what matters the most. We need to be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Remember that parable that Jesus told? I just told the children before the service. Isn't it wonderful to have children here? So they heard the story about the wise man who built his house on the rock, and when the winds came and the storms came, that house stood firm because it was on solid ground. It had a good foundation. In contrast, there was a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And sand is like sinking and shifting. Any house built on a shifting foundation won't stand in the biggest storms. And our lives are the same. Unless we build our lives on a solid rock, on a good foundation, they won't last in the storms of life. Our faith will fall away and everything that we've done will just come to ruin eventually. But we need to build our very lives and our church community, our corporate life, together on a solid rock of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. So I just want to ask you personally, are you building your life on the solid rock of Jesus Christ? Are you letting him be the cornerstone of your life and lining up the rest of your life in line with the cornerstone? Because that's what a building is. Like in the old days when they did build with stones, there was a cornerstone and all the other stones were lined up in relation to that cornerstone. It kept them solid and in place. So is your life in line with Jesus Christ, with your values, with how you spend your time, with how you spend your money? Because in the storms of life, you want to know you're going to stand up and stand firm, because your hope is in Jesus Christ, not in your money, not in other people, not in your comforts. Because in the end, all those things will be stripped away, and the only thing lasting will be what you've built on faith in Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to do that. Make sure your life is in line with Christ and build your life on him. And I know not everyone will do this. There's many in the world who reject him, or people with worldly values just are a bit indifferent to him. The world has different values to what we do in Jesus Christ, but we are called out of the darkness, out of the dark world, into his light, to live as reflectors of his light in a dark world, in a community of darkness. You know, I do spend a lot of time out there in the world, and, you know, I do like to, you know, go listen to bands and have a little dance just down at the Ranelagh Club. I've been making new friends down there, spending some time having a little dance here and there, and made friends with the guy who's singing there. He's a great singer. And you know what? He's going to come play for us in church next week. He's going to come and play a few beautiful God-honouring songs for us. And he offered that because I've spent time listening to his music and just building relationship. And then people start talking about God and their experience in church. And God's just doing stuff in that space. So we don't need to go out and be afraid of the darkness. We can go into the darkness as shining lights for Jesus and draw people into the kingdom of God, to draw them in. And that's what we're meant to be doing as God's people. We're meant to be offering up spiritual sacrifices. And think about, what is a spiritual sacrifice? That's who we are in relationship to Christ. Let me just go back a verse. I've skipped something. It says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So you're a holy priesthood. Think about that. You are someone who can help bring others closer to God. We don't need the priesthood like they did in, the Old Testament times, where the believers in God had to go all the way to the temple and give a sacrifice to the priest to offer on their behalf, who would only hope that these people could have their sins forgiven. We come directly to God. Jesus opened that door for us. He was the one last sacrifice for all sin, so we can just come to God just freely, just come into his presence, which is a gift that those people never had. And we have the scriptures. We can come to God through the scriptures. We can come to him in prayer. We can have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are so one with God, spiritually one with God, deeply connected to him. And we have all these gifts. And you know what? If the people of Jesus' day in the Old Testament times knew that we could have all this at our total fingertips, that connection with God, that intimacy with God, that just being able to come to God whenever we want, they would be amazed. They would have died for that. They would have loved that. That's what they longed for. That's what they hoped for. And we all have it. And now so many of us just say, I'm too busy to read the word. I'm too busy to pray. They would think that's ludicrous. We have so many gifts. We have every rich gift at our fingertips. And we don't utilize it enough. So I just want to encourage you to spend some time in God's word. Spend some time praying. Spend some time offering up these spiritual sacrifices of praise. That's what Hebrews tells us are the spiritual sacrifices. The praise, the praise of our lips, our bodies are living sacrifices to God. What else are living sacrifices? You look sleepy. You can yell out, what else is a spiritual sacrifice to God? Coming to church? Being part of the church. Praise, yeah. And sharing what we have. Living in community, giving our time and energy to one another, offering up our whatever we have for the glory of God, for his purposes and glory. And that's what we're called to do. We're a holy priesthood offering up spiritual sacrifices to God. And later on at verse 9, again it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy people, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Isn't that wonderful? Together, corporately, we are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. And it's a privilege to join together in that. That's who we are at Mount Eliza Anglican Church and all other churches, all other believers worldwide, you know. But what a special gift that we are the temple of God. We are spiritual stones. We are his building. We are his people, a nation, called to live as his people in a dark world. You know, we have so much. We have the Holy Spirit. We have that spiritual gifts. We have everything we need to live for God's glory and live out our identity in Christ. And so I want to encourage you today that you're bought at a price and to remember to live our lives as a sacrifice for him, drawing others to him in that royal priesthood. And I know many of you are doing that. Some of you joining parish council this year. You know, many of you offer pastoral care. A lot of you serve morning tea and in different ways. I just want to say thank you for that. The reason I'm talking about this is it's our annual parish meeting after the service today, and I hope that you'll all stay on and be part of that as well, because we're all in this together. We are a royal priesthood, a holy people called to do God's work in this place. So please keep being his priesthood. Please keep drawing others closer to Christ. Keep being a shining light in the community and offering spiritual sacrifices. Amen.